had a wonderful Rosh Hashanah. I'm sorry for a few of you I didn't get the chance to speak to this morning. I didn't make my usual rounds. I was busy and then busy in Tosfos. This is a, if you got into Tosfos, you realize these are actually, the sugya is a little bit tricky. And it happens to touch upon a number of Shas sugyas, very, very important sugyas. Amongst them, Zenen of Zelochaser, which is a really, really important issue. Contemporary application of Zenen of Zelochaser. You know, any you heard this? Making use of someone else's Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Now the truth is, to make use of someone else's Wi-Fi on a basis in a context in which you're, you know, your neighbor's apartment and you're using it, with or without the rishus, is gezel, because it's gezel from the internet service provider. And in fact, technically speaking, it may even be that, even putting that question aside, even if the internet service provider didn't care, or putting that question aside, it may be that when you use someone else's Wi-Fi, it's not simply Zenen of Zelochaser, it might actually straight out gezel, because you are using their equipment in a way that's physically nikar. Because when you request data, so the lights go on the modem and things like that, so you are actually making what might be considered physical use of it. So it might be irrelevant, but assume. Okay, so here's the story. If you do not give permission for me to use your Gemara, and I pick and I just use your Gemara and I don't damage it at all, right? It's not chaser, but it's still gezel. Show me that. What's that? It is, but irrelevant to the sugya. The assumption of Zenen and Zelochaser is a case where there is no technical gezela there. In fact, sometimes it's after the fact. Like, for example, if I lived in your apartment without your permission. Okay? So the question is, you didn't lose any, you were away. Right? So I squatted. So it's clearly also to do at the outset. It's a form of gezel. I mean, it's not a kinyan gezela. But the point is that you can have, but you can have Zenen of Zelochaser in cases where there's no aveira involved whatsoever, right? You can build a.
Is this example?
What's that?
Isn't that
one just
example?
No. Well, that's
it. Says not when you do some damage in the house, you know it's a small amount.
No, so that may be the Gemara's answer to the question. Okay. Just hold off on that for a moment. But my point simply is that. No, that Gemara is saying that there is chisaron. That's the whole point.
There needs to be chisaron.
No, there doesn't need to be chisaron. There doesn't necessarily. Whatever. We'll talk about it. But the point is that is a very, very important question. So it's fair to say that, leaving aside the question of technical gezel, if I used your internet, so you weren't chaser anything on the deal. It's a question. It's a question whether it's even applicable. Why might you be chaser? Because you paid the internet service fee, or you paid that already. So maybe that's why it's zenev is a chaser. It's actually not a simple sugya. It is an important sugya. Here's another very important question. Yes.
The person has a capped bandwidth that you take. That as soon as you start using.
Well, all right. So then that's mamish chaser. That's clearly chaser.
So then you can say, like, oh, checking your email for 3 seconds versus like streaming something. You could mechali because one.
Correct.
Yeah.
So whatever, there are all sorts of interesting questions in that, but at least on a regular, there are municipalities, and it may be that's universal, I'm not sure. There are municipalities in which it's actually written into the law code, it's illegal, and certainly even without that, there is an issue of gezel from the internet service provider. Yes, Ezra Shimon.
You can't make an assumption that because they don't have a password, they intend for you to be able to use it.
So I'm just, you're a computer science major?
Yes.
Yes, okay. I was too. So let's understand something. If someone forgets to put a password on their account, it's okay for you to go in there? Because we assume they wanted you to? The answer is no. Most people don't even know how to do it. Right? So they don't bother to learn. They don't bother to realize. They don't realize someone can be using it. That my neighbor can see my signal, and I can see their signal. And, you know, I'll give you an example. For years, I didn't put a password on the router because I was finding problems with some of the devices connecting to it. So I didn't bother. Who's going to do it? So now I happen to have on it right now with children. So I now decided we had to make it work. So we made it work. But the point is that as an example, you can't just because I would say the same thing. I mean, it's a little different. I grant that someone leaves the door open doesn't mean they intend for you to come and steal stuff. So in this case, I understand. Here, you're not chaser mamish. But the point is, I think that in most cases, people leave it unprotected. It's not b'shita. It's just because they didn't know, they didn't bother, they couldn't. You know, whatever reasons. Yes, okay. But my purpose wasn't to discuss that, although it was, once we were talking about it, again, mention of a very important halachic and ethical issue, so that you're aware of that now. So anyway, but coming back to Arush, okay, so I'm not going to, we could discuss that on a separate occasion. I think that there, the issue can, in certain cases, be nuanced and a little complex, but and I'll just say as a core issue, if you are living in an apartment, you need to get your own internet connection and not be relying upon someone else's. Certainly to be doing it in any manner that could possibly be considered kavua is certainly stealing possibly from multiple people. But anyway, let's talk about our case. Now, the second issue that I wanted to bring to your attention is the following. And this is an important point to keep in mind generally. Adam is muad li'olam. Bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, bein b'ones, bein b'ratzon. It means the following. It means that if I go to sleep, and then I walk in my sleep, and I damage your property when I walk in my sleep, I am liable. The only situation in which I am exempt is if I go to sleep and then you put down a crystal vase right next to me and I roll over in my sleep, as people are wont to do, and I smash your crystal vase. In that case, I am not chayef. But that's an effect because you set things up. But as a general rule, it doesn't matter how at fault or not at fault you are. Said if you are the agent of hezek to someone else by adam hamazik, not by your behema. If you guard your behema sufficiently, if you stick your behema behind a steel fence with a padlock, and then lightning strikes when you're away on vacation and breaks the thing open, and your animal goes running wild and does damage, you did a shmira meula. You could not have anticipated that would happen. You are going to be put on the nezek. But when adam begufo, adam hamazik, is chayim regardless, okay? As long as Now, again, if you take my hand and you immobilize me and put my hand around a gun and you use my finger to pull the trigger on the gun, so I'm potter there because you're chayiv, because you're the one who actually did it. I am just your agent. But as a matter of principle, that's only because I didn't actually do anything there. But if I do something, then I am chayiv. Yes?
What about in the case of an assassin?
Assassin usually pulls the trigger on his own, no?
But you're still being paid by someone else.
You're talking about the sugya of Ein Shliach Dvar Avera. So the bottom line is that the way we paskin, that Ein Shliach Dvar Avera, and the assassin should have, we say, Divrei Rabbi, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishonim. And that phrase, by the way, is mentioned by some of the Rishonim here. I don't remember if it's in our Tosos or mentioned by the other Rishonim. Just fleshing out a point in Rashi, but Divrei Harav and Divrei Talmud and Divrei Shom is why we say Ein Shlecha D'Aravera. So if I hire you to go kill someone, on the, except for Shammai's position, Shammai in the Gemara Kiddushin Daf Mem Gimel or Amar Alf, or approximately, Shammai says that if you hire someone, you hire a hitman, you are Chayiv Misa, maybe Bidei Shammayim. Probably based upon, I don't know, Misa B'Shem, Misa B'Dei Adam, I don't think it's Misa B'Dei Adam, but maybe it is Misa B'Dei Adam. And his proof is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David, after he had Uriah HaChiti killed, Ve'oso haragta b'cheref b'nei Amon, is the expression. So the bottom line is that the assassin was not supposed to listen to the guy who hired him. He was supposed to, after receiving the money, go to the police and say, I was just hired to kill someone. But the bottom line is, if he does, at best you're maybe chai b'dine shamayim, but you're not chai b'dine adam. It's the person who actually performs the action, because he should have not listened to you. Very simple. There's an interesting question. There's a machlokas harishonim, Tosus in the Ritva, in Bava Kama, what about shogeg? What if I ask you, there are only three things by which we say Yeshlich HaDvar Avera. What are they? Mi'ila. No. No. What someone said? No, that's Yeshliach, not Yeshlich HaDvar Avera. So that may not be an exception to the rule. The Gemara in Bav Metzia Daf Yud Amid Beis discusses that question: when do we say Yesh Shlichah Dvar Avera? When do we say Ein Shlichah Dvar Avera? In what type of circumstances? There are two lashonos there. One is that others of Chatzer. If Chatzer is mitam yad shaladam, then how is it that a Chatzer is kona akin in Geneva, which it can be? Another say if the yado agneva in the yado gago chatzer karpifa minayin talmalomar himatzei simatzei bechomakom. So the Gemara has to explain how could chatzer be mitam yad, and yet you say that it's kona bedvar avera. So either you say that you only say ein shlichah dvar avera when the shaliach has a choice, Or you only say, and here okay, the chatzer has no choice, it's inanimate, or you only say ein shlich dar avera if the shlich's a bar chayuva. But if the shlich's not a bar chayuva, then you, the mishaleach, are chayev. So if you tell a woman to go shave off the peos harosh of a katan, let's say, so the woman is not a bar chayuva because she's allowed to shave off the peos harosh, and therefore, if you say, she has a choice though. So that's what then one of the nafkaminas. But on the assumption that something falls under the general rubric of the pattern of ein shlich dar avera, there are three exceptions to the rule. So one of them is me'ila, one of them is dalid vehei, not the geneva, and the third one is shlichos yad bepikadam. The sugya is in the beginning of the second parak in Kiddushin. Those are the three exceptions where you can ask someone to do something. Me'ila is a weird exception because me'ila by definition is b'shogei. But the other two are things that a person can be knowingly doing it. And as I ask a person to go shech this animal which I stole from me, I am chayav on dalet v'hei, he is not chayav on the additional.
If you told him this is a stolen animal?
No, doesn't matter. There is a machlokes tosis in the Ritva. What if he doesn't? Let's say I ask you to take this object for me, steal it for me, but you don't realize that it's not mine. So Tosus claims that there's yeshlich advar vera by shogeg because the svara of divrei harav, divrei hatalma, divrei mishomim isn't relevant, right? Normally, ain shlich advar vera because if I ask you to do an avera for me, you know you're not supposed to do the avera. But if I ask you to take this object for me and you think the calculator is mine, so I say, you know, Alex, please take it with and bring it to my office. So you become the ganav on it, but you didn't know. You thought it was mine. You thought you were doing the right thing. So Tosu says there's an shlich dvar avera. That yesh shlich dvar avera there because the svar isn't relevant. The Ritva disagrees. They think the raya against Tosus is from me'ila because me'ila by definition is b'shogeg. And you know that if you do me'ila me'mezid, that's not me'ila. It's gezel from hekdesh. When we say there's me'ila b'shogeg, and when we say there's me'ila through a shaliach, it means if you don't realize the sitter is hekdesh, I don't realize the sitter is hekdesh. I say, Alex, please take the sitter back to my office. So we say that I am chayiv because I asked you to do it, not you. And that whole discussion there is b'shogeg, right? And it's an exception to the rule. If it weren't for that, you would have been chayiv on it, even though you're totally shogeg. So whatever, that's a discussion. So anyway, so coming back, so Adam is more the olam yirchayiv no matter why you do something. So here, take the following question. Supposing I steal some food from Chaim, I steal some of his delicious pot roast. Okay, for me, loaf would have been one thing, pot roast. Okay. You know where pot roast is mentioned in the Chas? You don't know? He did it in Daf Yomi. What?
That's one of the ways you're not allowed to cook.
No.
Masa Kedera. That I refuse to do Daf Yomi because
you're for not knowing. So I have a suggestion for you. Do Daf Yomi, but just don't tell me you're doing it. Daf Yomi is starting Yevamos this coming Sunday. So there's going to be a celebration here. I think they actually start Monday, but they'll start on Sunday when they make the Siyam. There's a big celebration here. If you want to come, we're doing something at KJ for the Siyam Hadaf. In lieu of a special share in lieu of my regular Sunday share there. But the Gemara, you should know this. Metzger is never going to hear the end of it this year.
One second.
It's in the, I believe it's here. So Rashi, Abaye says, Amar Abaye, Megillah Daf Zayin Amud Beis. Abaye says, Ki nafik mi beimar hava savana. When I left Rabbi's house, I was full. I got to somebody's house. So krivile shitin soy, the shite mine kedera. So they brought me 60 different dishes to taste, 60 different plates, and I ate all of them. Ba'achli bahu shitin pluge. I ate 60 portions. Ubishula bas raisa havu karelates li kedar. The last dish they call pot roast. And he says, "Uboy lemechas tza abasra." I wanted to lick the plate after it. Okay, fine. It's in the Mishnah. What's that?
Always full and shvamina. There's always
room for dessert. He says no. He says an ani is always hungry but doesn't know it, right? And correct. And the other one is that ravcha lebesima shchiach, which is funny because besima means sweet or you know tasty or something like that, and then the next line in the Gemara is Chayav Adam LeBasume Bepuria. Not sure what that means. There we know what it means, but not clear how we would say somebody gets smashed, not spiced. But whatever, you have a new word. So anyway, okay. So supposing I steal Chaim's pot roast, Okay, and Schleien is so hungry for the pot roast. I know he's hungry. I said, Chaim, have some of my delicious pot. What?
I'm pretty hungry for pot.
Okay. Chaim, I give Chaim to eat. I give Schleien to eat, excuse me. So what's the din? So the Gemara in the beginning of the 10th parak of Baba Kama, right after the Mishnah, quotes, I forget which of the Amoraim, who says that HaGozel Eschaveiro V'lo Nisyashu Bailim, and he gave it to Chaveiro to eat, that the Gana, that the Nigzal can be Gover from either one. Why? Because even though Schleien is a Shogeg, bottom line is, when the pot roast was extant still, it still belongs to Chaim. If he didn't have Yeyush, even if I sell it or give it to someone else, it still belongs to Chaim. And whoever has the object is obligated to return the object as is. When Schleien now eats it, he's basically destroying the possibility of what Chaim had. Now, of course, he could. Chaim had to collect to take it back. Chaim can claim money from me because I stole it. And the bottom line is, if you steal, you have to return. When you steal, you have to return either the object you stole, or if the object is not extant, meaning it doesn't exist at all, or it's been changed, it's had a shinui to it, so it's not the same object, it's panim chadashas balakan, then I have to pay money back. That's the rule. So the question will be, and you have to keep that in mind in the case that we're dealing with here as well. Okay, those are sort of two major sugyos, and it touches upon a larger question generally, which I don't think we have to deal with, but I think you should think about in the back of your mind. Supposing I steal Hillel's a bottle of wine. He's got a nice bottle of wine in his apartment. I steal a bottle of wine. And the wine is worth, I don't know, $20. And then, 3 days later, when there's been a run on that bottle of wine, it's now selling for $80. And now, the bottle breaks. Or, a difference, I smash the bottle. How much money do I owe Hillel? So Rabbah in Baba Kama, Daf Samech Chemer Aleph, says that if it broke on its own, then I owe him Kishas HaGzela, the $20. If I smashed it, so at the time I smashed it is when I'm actually doing an act of Nezek, and I could have returned it right then extant. It still belongs to Hillel. So if I smashed it, I have to pay $80, the worth at the time. Of course, if it went in the reverse direction, I'm still chayav to, unless I can return the bottle. If the value declined in the interim, so if I still have the bottle, I can give it back to Hillel. Why? Because I can say Harei Shel Chalafanecha, just as if I steal chametz from a budi before Pesach, and now it comes to after Pesach, and the chametz is asbana, I can take the, if it's still intact. I stole. You like any cookies? What's your favorite cookie? I stole a box of chocolate chip cookies from him. What? Which brand? Which kind?
My mom's homemade cookies.
Oh, I stole his mom's homemade cookies, chocolate chip cookies, and then after Pesach, priceless is different. And it's not a MasterCard commercial either, okay? So I steal the cookies, and after Pesach, I have charata. And I say, Danny, you know, look, I feel really bad. So here are the cookies, which now, of course, he can't eat, and their shavus is zero. So we paskin that Hezek She'enu Nikar is Nashme Hezek. And so there might be a Kenas the Rabbanim, but they say, HaGozel Chaveiro Chametz V'Avar Alav HaPesach, so Omer Lo HaRei Shel Chalafanecha. Right? It's yours, as long as it's extant. Of course, if lightning strikes and incinerates those cookies before I give it back to him, I now have to pay him full value. Because I can't give back the object I stole, and how much am I chayav to pay him? Well, at least the value of what it was when I stole it. So if something declines in value, if I'm giving the be'en, there are two obligations of Ashavas HaGzela. Ve'yishivas HaGzela, Asher Gozal, Ke'en Shagozal, if the object is extant, because it really still belongs to him. Or, if I made a shino and the object is gone, then I pay him damim. Moshe, and then Akiva.
Are you allowed to give back the actual cookies on Pesach?
You would fulfill Hashava, but it would be equally awesome. I mean, it'd be awesome in the Raisa perhaps to give back on Pesach because I'm being Nena on Pesach. If I wait until after Pesach, then I'm being Nena only in the Sidra Rabbanon because Chlamet Shalavar Pesach is only Aser Banon. We be Paschim in the Rabbanon. The
okay,
Knas.
So it's Aser, but it does work.
It works.
Okay, good.
Right. There, you know, the by analog, if you're Mekadesh and Isha, be Surei Hana, she's not Mekudeshes. The question is why? Because bottom line is, you're a bad guy. Ah, that might be because it's worth less than a Shavaputa. That's one of the, not the only, it's one of the Hesberim that's given, is because it's worth less than a Shavaputa, which could also, by the way, explain why Isura Hanami Drabanan might also not be Mikudesha Smidaraisa, because even if the Isur is only Drabanan, the Shavuos Midaraisa is zero also. Right? Akiva, your question.
So with regard to the wine bottle example, if you break the wine bottle, it's declined in value, why can't you just buy another wine bottle for less?
Because there are two ways to fulfill Veshivas HaGzeilah. Either the value of that which you stole, or that which you stole. The preferred option is B. If it's possible, I'm not allowed to. If I steal you a bottle of wine, I'm not allowed to say, okay, I'm really sorry, you know, okay, and here's $20 for the bottle of wine. That's called Chamas. Chamas, I believe, is the term they use for with Daman. Because you're not giving him what you stole. You either give the value of what you stole or the object that you stole.
But it's an identical object.
It's not identical object. It may look identical. It's a different object. It's made from different atoms.
Wait.
It's a different object. It's not the same one. Daniel?
One place that I'm not making sense of is, like, for example, if I steal somebody's stuff, so to speak, if I could steal a stuff, or somebody's share or security in a company, and I were to take it at January 1st, and by January 15th, it's declined in value.
So I would just say, I don't think halacha would recognize such a thing. You can't steal something that's abstract.
Or let's say you steal something, but can't we also assume that the person, like let's say you steal something from a merchant, and during that 15-day period, he could have sold the object for a higher price?
So what I'm telling you is that's Gazal Chametz Avodah Pesach. It declined in value. It plummeted. It went to zero. So technically, you might. I don't know if you're high b'dinei shemayim, but b'dinei adam of dindaraisa you're potter. Because what? How did you damage them? You damaged them because what might they have done?
Might have sold it.
Right. So the answer is that's grama b'nizakin, and grama b'nizakin is potter. It's aser. We're not talking about what's more than aser. It's clearly aser. There's no question about that. But grama b'nizakin yupateron. That's my assumption of why yupateron. In other words, your taina, Danny's taina against me is that I give it back to him before Pesach. He could have eaten them and gotten the value. It's true, but that's passive. That's grama by definition. So right again, it's not that we're not talking about what's mutter or not, and what is moral or not. We're simply talking about din.
Well, no, I'm saying even in regard to din, let's say like just a straight up case. There's no other yisurim there. Shouldn't you have to pay the value of the product now because you? Like, shouldn't we also like give the person you stole from the benefit of the doubt that they would have sold that object?
So again, I'm telling you, even if we know they would have sold the object, it's grama b'nizakin. Right? Now, if I have things that like the Gemara says that there's certain things you're not allowed to do on your property near the boundary because it might damage other people. But if it's done in a passive fashion, that's called grama and yipater. It's usher. The Gemara says it's usher to do, but not a violation in nizakin. Creates a hishivus of mammon. Zach?
Did you say that the case of Ratzi Mizengor, Ratzi Mizengor is only by Shogeg?
Well, it's true by Mezid also.
Oh.
But I would say, even though the guy who took it, who ate it, didn't know that he was eating something that was stolen, he's still chayv.
Even if he thought he wasn't stealing even from the second.
Correct, yeah, we're not assuming he's stealing from the second guy.
Yeah.
Mr.
Shimon? If you stole someone's $100 bill, is it best to give back the exact same bill you stole?
Such an interesting question. I would say the answer is yes. In other words, he does own, when you have money, you own not only the money, but you own the object itself. And therefore, even if you want it, as the Gemara would say, Litzor al pitz lochisa, as a bottle stopper, that's what you use it as. And if your dollar bill were a bottle stopper, and that's what you used it as, so when I steal your dollar bill, of course I'm not allowed to give you a different dollar bill. Just as if I stole your bottle stopper, I couldn't give you a different bottle stopper, even an identical one. Even if, you know, Kasowski were having his way, I still can't do that. Right? So that's why? Because that you have a kinyan on that particular object. Money is an interesting case, but I assume that that's the case. If you spent the $20, you give me a different $20 bill. More interesting question is, what if the $20 bill were a very valuable dollar bill?
That's for the object, not the money.
Correct. In other words, if that's a rare dollar bill or something like that, which is further complicates the question. Okay.
And it has value.
What's that? If not, that's not its value as a currency, it's a value as a collectible.
But what about the relative currency value changing during that time? If he doesn't have the same bill, does he have to pay more?
No, that would be ribbis probably, or close, at least midr abanon. We assume that money remains fixed. That's the way the halacha works. Money is fixed and goods fluctuate.
Wait, so if someone stole like $1,000 from me like 50 years ago, then they would only owe me $1,000 from me?
Yep.
That's good business.
Nope. Zach?
Regular gazelle is also mashuri too, right?
Is also
you accidentally steal.
Correct. Correct. In other words, if you steal something by accident, if I made a mistake and I thought that Chaim's pot roast was mine, okay, I probably pleaded grounds on temporary insanity. But supposing I thought that was mine and I ate it, so I'm not a gazlan in terms of the gaver being a gazlan, but it is a maisa gazela, so I'm chayiv to pay. Right, then that I want to distinguish here another issue that comes up, and Moshe pointed this out very well when he went to me in Seder. I mean, actually was aware of this before, but he astutely noticed that the Gemara plays a sleight of hand trick. Supposing Mishnah in Baba Kama, I should quote it. Hopefully, I wasn't making it up, Moshe. Okay, you trust me that I wasn't making it up. But the Mishnah, there's a din that Shane and Regel are potter in the Rishus HaRabim. Means that you know that animals walk in the public domain, and if you put something down where an animal just walks, steps on it in the normal process of walking, or you put food down that you can assume an animal might very well eat, so there is no liability for Shane and Regel in the Rosh Hashanah. You only chayav on Karen in the Rosh Hashanah, an abnormal behavior of your animal. So, supposing a person puts down a bundle of gourmet wheat, in the Rosh Hashanah, and someone else's animal is walking along and looks at that wheat and says, yum, and eats it. So we said that the Baal HaShor is potter on Shein, potter on the Nesek, but the Mishnah says as follows. The Mishnah says that, talking about the Chiyuv Shein Regel, it says, Bamed Vram Amur and Bershus HaNizak, Amul Bershus HaRabim Potter. V'im Nenes, Mishalemes Masha Nenes. If, I wasn't making it up, Moshe. If you get hana, if the animal got hana, I mean, I had to feed my animal dinner anyway. Right? I got to give my animal a certain number of calories a day. And if I was nana, because now I don't have to give my animal supper, so then I pay the hana that I get. Now, what does hana mean? So the Mishnah explains. Ketzad. Ketzad mishalemes mashanenes. This is on Daf Yutes Amud Beis. Ochla mitocha rochava mishalemes mashanenes. The Mishnah will not say how you define that. The Amoraim discuss it. The Mishnah distinguishes between Masha Nenes versus Masha Hizika. Masha Hizika is the full value of the wheat that it ate. But Masha Nenes, so in the Gemara, the Kama, Rabba Amar Demei Amir, Rabba Amar Demei Seorim Bizol. So just, I don't want to get into what exactly the dispute is. Rabba says, cheap barley. The animal might have eaten expensive wheat, but since I would never feed my animal wheat, because that would be, you know, that would be like, you know, feeding, you know, fagua, you know, to my dog. What? Yes. Foie gras or something like that. Foie gras. Whatever. Okay. Pinchot, are they allowed in Chicago anymore? Isn't there a ban on making this stuff in Illinois?
I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know. I'm not a bucky. Yeah. Okay. He lives there, but he doesn't know the laws. Anyway, so it's like, or that's basically wasting good stuff, you know, on someone who is not discerning. It'd be like giving me personally a fancy bottle of wine. It's like I wouldn't know the difference. It's wasted on me. So you don't need to get me gifts, but just know that if you bring a bottle of wine, it's not for me, it's for my wife. Okay? She at least knows the difference between good wine and not so good wine. So, you know. Anyway, so you don't need to bring a bottle of wine, you don't need to bring anything. But just so you know, if you're trying to win favor with me, so I'll appreciate the gesture, and it will be appreciated as such, but nonetheless, it will be lost upon me. So, all right. So anyway, so the bottom line is that this is important you sow, that even if you, and this is crucial, you need to know this, otherwise nothing makes sense. Even if you're not chai for Masha Hizik, you can be chai for Masha Nene. That's crucial. And the Gemara plays a sleight of hand trick here, because it shifts gears in the middle from paying Masha Hizik to paying Masha Nene. Okay? And there are limited situations. There are situations where you do pay Masha Nene and situations that you don't. And Tosos will explain that in the Gemara's transition. Yes, Nagar?
Wait, what if the person says he doesn't want the gum, but he wants you to buy another bottle of wine or whatever?
I'm sorry?
If he tells you he doesn't want the bottle, he doesn't want the money, he wants a bottle of wine. I mean, he wants the same bottle of wine.
Well, he's not entitled to that. In other words, if the wine appreciated, no, because once you can't pay the object be'en by nezek, and gezel is a form of nezek, you are allowed to pay in any meitav. A mazik has to pay a meitav, but all metaltalim is considered meitav. It's considered idis. Meitav sadeo meitav. The mazik has to pay minha meitav, minha idis, from the highest quality stuff that he has. In other words, if he has different grades of land, when he's mazik, he has to pay. If he's paying land, he has to pay idis.
Okay.
If you're going to pay in anything that's metaltalin, so all metaltalin is considered metav, because the ilo mizdabin hacha mizdabin hacha. You can sell it anywhere.
So I can give him the same bottle of wine.
You can give him $20 worth of the same bottle of wine. Yes.
Okay.
Right. And as if he wants back in wine, you can. You don't have to. That's you can walk in, if you want to be a really nasty person, and someone won't stop chasing you down for money, you think you don't owe them for the $100. If you want to be nasty, you go to the bank and you take out $100 worth of pennies, you stick them in a large bag, and you go drop it on the counter. Okay? Because that's Meitav. What? What's that?
Well, how's that Meitav?
All metaltalin is meitav. That's cash.
Even if you have better metaltalin right there.
Doesn't matter. All metaltalin is considered meitav. The way Chazal looked at it in terms of fields, it's not even clear whether you look at your fields or you look at fields of Alma. But either way, you say the best third is considered meitav. The middle third is considered beinonis. The third third is considered ziboris. Ziboris is the low quality stuff.
What were the two things for chiyuv hanav? We said it was either that you have to pay which amounts.
The machlok samarayim?
Yeah.
Forget that. Amir or the meisarim bezol. I don't want to get. Amir is hay or straw or something like that.
And for those, and why do you pay for?
Because you were in effect you were nenet, and it costed you money.
It was nana.
It's like I don't know if they quote this gemara in that sugya. Oh, this is not where it is. The sugya is on that mishnah actually later, not the daf and daf later. Chavalef, I think.
So this is
This is the principle of Zenan v'Zechaser. And this is the most direct example of Zenan v'Zechaser because my hanah came directly from your chisarim. Right? Now there are other examples of. In other words, if I stay in your courtyard, I'm darin your chatzer, which you normally don't rent out, right? That's Zenan v'Zechaser. There are situations where when we will say something is called zena and zechasa on something you spent money on already, but at the time I didn't have to be mishtatef, and then later when I make use of the object, there's a tosus in Baba Basra da Vavam and Aleph. You can take a look there about when I don't participate in your building a wall, and later I decide to make use of it by putting my beam on it. So then at that point you have to pay for half the value of the wall. And Tosus talks about this question, but one of the answers, the way they explain it, is that now the money that I spent earlier to build the wall, that's the chisaron. In other words, retroactively. But the point is that money you spent already might be able to be considered chisaron because you, to create this object, you had to spend money. But here it's mamish. My chisaron is what you got hanah from. Your animal ate my produce.
Okay, I'm getting back closer to our case.
Right? Yes. We're learning subas, yes.
For here, we said that if you would have some, if Reuben would steal it and give it to someone else,
right?
He can collect. The original owner can collect from either of the two, right?
Correct. That's not on
original. That is that only if the original chefetz is there.
Yes. In other words,
destroyed by the second person, then.
Well, no. But the assumption is he ate it. The second person ate it.
If the second person ate it, he's still chayav
one. He could be chayav on the mei gesel, not the mei hanah.
Which person?
The second guy.
Second person's only
chayef. No, he's chayef for gezel, not for hana, not just for hana.
He's
mishali masha hizik, not just masha nene.
Okay.
Why? Because since the object was still be'en and there was no yeyush, he was the one who destroyed it, and therefore he's a mazik. He might be b'shogig, but he's still a mazik.
So he pays
the full value.
Zigana or just a mazik?
What's that?
Zigana for a mazik.
Mainat l'mainaf gamina. In other words, if he's the shogig, he's not pasal eidus. And what's the difference between a goslem b'shogig and a goslem b'mezid? A goslem b'mezid is pasul eidus. A goslem b'shogig is just a mazik. Right? In other words, Gazlan is listed as one of the 24 Avos Nezikin in the Tana, the Bay, whatever.
Well, once you get to 24, you get everything's included.
Correct, but my point, I know you can get everything in there. Point is, Gazlan, Ganav and Gazlan is a mazik.
Okay.
It's a specific kind of mazik. But the difference is that if I go with a baseball bat and I break the windows of your car, I'm not possible to eat this, but I'm high to pay. It's an interesting question. You know, what is the basis of the chayiv to pay? Whereas if a Gazlan, a Ganav has to pay, because my yeshiva says that Asher Gazal, he's a kind of mazik, but he's also possible to eat because he violated the Aveira. It's not clear what the makar of the it. We assume it's usher to be mazik someone, but it's not clear what the isser is, that
and
you have to pay, the Torah says.
You said all appreciation of value by the time the second person that he gave it. So he pays for what?
If he ate it, he would pay the larger amount. The Gemara is a very brief discussion, because it really relates to a mission of a man who stole something and died, and then his Yorshim ate it. And the whole and the question is, the mission implies that they're putter, except for the fact if there's assets from the father, then there's a shibud on the father's nechasim, and that seems to be a raya against that. And the answer they give is that it's dafka when nisyashu by them, but lo nisyashu by them, the Yorshim would have to pay full value, And they don't talk about Yukra Vizula there. What happens if it appreciates in value? But I assume that the reason why if I steal a barrel of yours and then it appreciates in value and then I smash it, the reason why I'm chayav to pay is not because I'm a bad guy. I'm a bad guy either way, but it's because if an onus happens to it, on that, that's not a maase nezek of mine or a maase gezel of mine, so I'm chayv on the original maase gezela. And the onus that happened, onus happened to you. But I'm chayv on gezel still. But if I am mazik, you know, and drinking would be the same thing. It doesn't matter whether I smell barrel wine or I drank the bottle of wine, it's the same thing. So I become a gazlan at that shah as well. So I would assume that the second guy, when he drank it, it was a $60 bottle of wine, he's chayv to pay for $60 bottle of wine.
So are we going to focus now to Rashi now, or do you want to start from the beginning of the
Shaka? We're going to start from the beginning of the Shaka Lutari, okay? It's fine. Akiva. This is an unbelievable sugya, actually. It touches upon so many interesting questions. It's more Baba Kama than it is Ksubos, but hey. Yes. Why isn't he? He's not. No. You're not, generally speaking, anything that you're shogeg on, unless there's a specific Zera Drabanan against it, you're going to be pater on. In fact, I don't think that generally goes on shogeg, that goes on things that might not be asam the rabbanon, or situations where person maybe is moraheta, so they're kind of a shogeg, but generally speaking, you're patur on shogeg. In order to be pasul la'edus, you have to be a rasha. So machlokes, you have to be a rasha de chamas, or you're a rasha de lav de chamas. But at the end of the day, in order to be a rasha, rasha implies mazid. You can have a masa aveira b'shogeg, but you're not a rasha for that. Okay, so. Shua.
Yes.
Would you honor us with reading? We have to read Rava first. We just explained Abaye. We read yesterday up until Abaye. So Rava, Abaye said that the makor for Rav Nechunya ben Akana, that you say, come labor the Rabba mine, even by kares, is Ason. Rava says, Rava Amar.
Rava Amar, time is Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, mehafadim, ha'alam yalinu, Amar, it's asay mehem, and min ha'isha hu.
Besito.
Besito mizaro le molech. The santiani as penai le beishahu mishpachto be crazy also.
So.
The amrator karis shalik misa shalachem. That during this scenario, in which I believe he's chayav misa, Hashem gives the word of karis for, and therefore is associating that the karis of Hashem is like a misa of.
Right. Okay. If you didn't give Misa, if they close their eyes, so God says, don't worry, I'll get him anyway. So you should have given a Misa, they didn't give a Misa, I'll give him Kares. So Kares Shali. Okay, so it's nice, it's a different makar. It's a much simpler makar in many ways than Abaye's makar. Abaye's makar we didn't really understand. For those of you in Shir yesterday, which was a very small number of you, like 7 of you, so you know we didn't understand then, and I still don't understand now. In other words, how does the Ason thing doesn't quite add up. Whereas this drush actually is a little more direct. Moshe?
Yeah, isn't there something between that says that he's chayav skila? In this pasuk,
in the previous pasuk is they're supposed to stone him.
Oh, sorry, I got it.
So the point is that the previous pasuk says, "This is what you're supposed to do." Ve'ish ish asher yitei mizara la molach mosu mas ama aritzir gemuva oven. And then Vania Tenis Panay Besho Akhrate Semikama Kimizar Salam. Kimi Zarona Salam Ochlaman Tames Mikdashil Halashem Kachi. But Vim Halem Yali Mo'am Aretz Hasenehem and Eshahu Visitomis Arloch Lutimis Levilti Hamiso. So I got the wrong pasuk in between. It was a different pasuk. Visantiani is Panay Beishahu Vimishvato Vichratio So Veis Kalzanam Acharyahu Mikar Hamam. Yeah, there was I guess I made that pasuk goes here. So the bottom line is that they were supposed to give him Amoritz Yugum Uva Avim, but if the Amoritz didn't do their job, it doesn't mean the Amoratzim, it means the people. So then God says, I'll catch up with him. But again, so the Ason Drush is harder to understand where Abai is going with it. But
give an answer tomorrow?
For what?
I understand it yesterday.
Did we?
Yeah.
No. At the end of the day, the Ason that's being spoken about, the Ason Yeh, is not the Mises based in the Asonia is the death of the woman.
Rashi says it befavors them. Obviously, by all it is Mises based.
I know, except that you then turn. What does it mean? Even if you want to say, we saw that Rashi, I pointed that out. Except that even if you you were here, but
well, I don't understand what's so difficult about it.
Because
Abai is just showing us where else in the Torah the word. What the word ason means, he's proving from the Torah elsewhere. But the word ason means.
I know, but it doesn't mean. But ason, yeah, what? If someone dies an accidental death? I can mechanically string out the drasha. So ason, yeah, why do we assume that ason is referring to the Mises basin? Because ben asat nefesh tachas nefesh. So now I can assume that the ason is even when it's not nefesh tachas nefesh, when it's bidei shemayim. It's a big leap. Fine, I don't need to beat it to death, but Rava's drush is very straightforward. You're supposed to put it to death. If you don't put it to death, I give him kares. So kares only kemisa shalochem. Maybe Rava was thinking the way I was. I'm thinking the way Rava was thinking. Okay, so now the Gemara asked a very basic question. So one answer, of course, could have been mashmas dorshem ikabinayim. There is no nafkamina. However, the Gemara says there is an afkamina. What is it? So this is a fancy way of saying, or misa bidei shamayim. Right, what things do you get misa bidei shamayim for?
Yeah, is there more to the slusa? That was the first thing.
What's that?
Is there not more to the slusa? They can't say.
What you're really highlighting? What's even a more important, compelling kasha, which is. The Gemara is going to get all tangled up over Zar She'achal Truma. Why did they just pick a regular case of Misa Bidei Shamayim?
What's a regular case?
That's a good question.
I just didn't know.
All right, a Kohen Tameh who eats Truma, that might present the same problems. There are other cases as well. You have to come up with a case. You have to look. There's a Braisa. Hold on. There's a Braisa in Sanhedrin. Where else? What? Why not? Of course it would be in Sanhedrin. There's a Braisa, but not so long before Chelek. I'm sorry, before Eilein and Nechnakim. There is a Braisa. It's a Tosefta, I believe. I'm in its location. I'm almost there. Okay. Gufa, the Elu Shebemisa. It's a Gemara in that Pei Gimel and Aleph. It's a Tosefta in Krasus and in Zvachim. Ha'ochel es ha'tevel. The Kohen Tamei she'achal Truma, Tahora. Vizor she'achal es ha'truma. Vizor she'shimesh. V'tamei she'shimesh. That means to do avod on the Mikdash. Not one who enters the Mikdash. Because for entering the Mikdash, you get kares. You have to figure out a way how you get a Tamei she'shimesh without violating Tomas Mikdash v'kadasha. Tvo yom she'shimesh. M'chusa begadim, m'chusa kapara. Okay, what else? Hizid b'me'ila, according to Rabbi Tosis, is going to talk about this, and we may have to talk. We may or may not talk about a sugi m'sachem that makes life very complicated. What else do they have? Do they have anything else? As if it isn't enough already. Yes.
I think this is the one thing that really complicates life.
No, that sugi is a real, real fun sugi. Okay, so you could have come up with cases that didn't involve the achila process. You know, azar shashimesh b'mikdash.
Shimesh, but you said also created issues because...
No, azar, not a tane. Azar is allowed to enter the mikdash.
Okay. What's mamon rishim b'mikdash?
Listen, if a guy can, you know, can be Michal Shabbos, shoot an arrow and tear things, so, you know, the Kohen, while he's doing shechita in the animal, the knife tears through a thing. You come up with a case. You would have gotten around some of the problems we have with Achila, okay? Now, just as one prefatory, so anyway, so the Gemara says, so maybe this was the best case, I don't know. They could have come up with better cases, probably less problematic. Maybe not. Maybe that's why they picked this. The bottom line, this is a fancy way of saying Misa Bidei Shemayim. This Misa Bidei Shemayim Pati and Kalim B'Rabba Minei. Okay, now, I'm going to throw out a question not to be dealt with now. This is the topic of Tosfos, and it's a Rashi also, Msachim, that's the Sugya. Just be aware of this. We mentioned yesterday that there is a principle of Chayvei Misos Shogegin. If you burn down somebody's house on Shabbos, you are Chayv Misa, and you are Pata from pain. If you burn down somebody's house on Shabbos and nobody is looking, or you burn down somebody's house on Shabbos b'shogeg, you don't burn it down b'shogeg, I mean it could be b'shogeg, but it doesn't matter, you burn it on purpose, but you don't know that it's us that have burned things on Shabbos, or you forget that it's Shabbos. So the din is you're also pater from paying. Why? It's a brisa that we're going to see later, I think that's on the top of daf, I want to say lamadalamal, if I could be making that up. Can't turn the pages now. It's top of lamad heyam at aleph. The Tana de Bechiskia. So this is principle that it's called Chayvei Misa Shogegin. And the question of Malkos, let's say my Malkos and Mamon, you also say Kamei B'Rabba Minei, at least so we think. The way we usually assume, that if I'm supposed to get Malkos and Mamon for the same action, I get the Malkos and Pato on the Mamon. What happens if I don't get Malkos because there was no Hasra, or there no Edim, or I was Shogeg? Let's allow any of those possibilities to the moment. So that's a machlokas hamaron, mechshdalkes Rabbi Yochanan. Whether you say kam labirabim minei of chayve malkos shogegin, you know, whenever you don't get the malkos, like we say chayve misa shogegin. What about kares? A misa b'deshemayim. What if you do the avera b'shogeg? So you don't get kares. You have to bring a korban chatas. Chatas is for a kapara, and kapara presumably plays no role by kam labirabim minei. Now, there's something that's brought for kapara is totally independent, But what happens in terms of the payment, the money? Do we say that since the maize that I would have gotten kares, even though I don't get kares now, we say that I'm pater for paying the mamon? We say no. And when it comes to kares, it means to be shemayim. You're only pater on the mamon if you actually get the onesh. Correct. According to the Chum, it's not a question, because even if you do get the kares, you still pay the money. Okay, so anyway, we might or might not come back to that question. It depends how frazzled we're feeling after dealing with the sugya. So now the Gemara says,
So when I was there, Shalach Lachimah, Levi, Pater, Levi, Chai. Right, Levi was saying that it's Pater because he seems to hold it specifically in the mix between Karis and...
It wasn't. It's both Karis and Midi Shemayim. You say, come like Rabbi, eh?
Anything that Shemayim and
right.
Not just Misa's Shemayim. The Levi Potter, and would Levi really say, it's part of Amar Rav Chista, Moder Rabbi Nechumia, Behakana, but go ne v'chal v'shel chaber, v'achol shehu chay, shekar et chay, v'gene v'kodem shebali de Yisr chela. And then Amar, mitivida agave kania, mitchay v'nafsho, lo havi ad da'achol v'lay.
No, so I'm on the Ida, the Agbe Kanye. Kanye, but Mishai ben Avshalohava. So, by parallel to that, we'll explain this all in a moment. Hachanami. Fine. So, firstly, the Gemara's question is a little bit odd. When they're asking Ula Abaye Potter, is that a kasha against Abaye? No, Abaye wasn't the one who said Zar Shachal Truma. It's really a question on the Gemara. Yeah. Right? And the question exists, what?
Because there's another math where you can learn about
Abaye. I'm sorry?
It depends on if you can find another math where you can learn about
it. It's still not a kasha on Abaye.
Yeah, there's no not, if it's not true, Zar Shachal Truma is a punter, isn't a punter, so then there's no math where you can
learn. Okay. Why is that a kasha on Abaye? Abaye wanted to know, how do you know that when you get kares bidei shamayim, how do you know that the guy is pater from pay? So he learned it from Asson. I don't understand his drasha, but Abaye understood his drasha.
So what's the question of Mike Rabbeinu?
The Gemara wants to know, is there an afkamina between them, and it assumes that there is. But if in fact Abayin, as I told you before, there's another answer the Gemara could have said, Mashmas Dorshanika Binayim, which means that to be this.
Does that appear in other places?
Yes, I didn't make up the phrase myself. Mashmaus Dorshanika Binayim. I Halavai should be such a clever forger, but no, it's a Gemara expression. The Gemara says sometimes there's a machlokas amoraim whether there's an afkamina, and one amara will say mashmas darshanika binayim, another one says no, there's an afkamina. Look in those are Rabbeinu Smithy, I think by the machlokas over goses on the makor for a coin entering the ol, you know, of a mace. So I think it was a Gemara Nazir where there were two different limudim, and the Gemara said, what's nafkamina? And one said, Mashmaus Darshanim, maybe it's a machlok, it's a fine rabba, Mashmaus Darshanim, and the other one said, no, you know, goses or something, Ikebenayu. I think that's what the, something like that. So you have it a few places in Shas.
Wasn't a question by Shemashim and Shemashim about their
machlokas?
Was it
nafkamina?
And Rashi, I don't know.
No, agree. No, yeah.
See that he was saying, well, how could they have mashmaus of the word tea? Okay,
no. The Gemara was asking. First, the Gemara was asking on an assumption there that Rav Shimon ben Menasseh's formulation was in response. His comments were in response to what Rabbi Shimon HaTimani said. Abayin is not responding to Rava here. Abayin and Rava lived in different places, had their own yeshivas, and had their own drushes. So the Gemara is assuming there's an afkamina. It suggests, it's a very logical suggestion, that a son of Abaye is bidei shamayim. It's not specifically karis. Whereas Rava's limud is hekish, a karis and misa. Alex?
The question that came up for us today, I thought this was what you were referring to, Rabbi, isn't, who says that Abaye is beholden to Rav Chisda's
opinion? So one of the Rishonim asked this question. It's not on the page, but in the Shita, they asked the question, maybe that I'm already pleading. I don't remember what the answer was, but the simple answer is that what Rav Chisda said is essentially incontrovertible.
Okay. That's
what we assume. Right, the principle of Be'idna, as it's usually pronounced, technically Be'idana, but we say, you don't talk that way, you say Be'idna, that's the way we say it in the base Midrash. The principle Be'idna, that they have to be at the same time, they have to be simultaneous, seems to be pretty broadly accepted. Right, because if it weren't the case, I mean, it's not the sugya on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph is going to be preoccupied in defining what is simultaneous. But right now, we're assuming that there needs to be simultaneity, which is assumed later also. It's only the question of how do you define in simultaneity. But on the assumption that we have that there is a requirement of simultaneity, and we have a rough idea of what it means to be simultaneous, so that's what this discussion is predicated upon. Okay, so the kasha was. So again, Rav Chisda says that Rav Nechunya ben Akana, even though he says you're potter when you do an aveir sheish bakares, if you steal your friend's chalev and you eat it, you are chayev to pay. Why? Because the chiyev to pay when you steal your friend's chalev and then eat it comes when? The chiyev to pay comes when?
As soon as you pick it up.
When you pick it up, when you steal it. When you make the kinyan gazela on it. That is when the chiyev comes to pay. When does the chiyev come of kares? When you eat it. But the bottom line is you didn't have to eat it. Eating it is something you do later, and by the time you eat it, you're already chayef to pay. So why would anybody say you're potter and paying? So you're right, Alex. Maybe he disagrees with Chisda, but it'd be very hard to understand why. Right? You know, I stole $1 million from the bank, okay, and they're coming after me to get the money, so I go on Mechal Shabbos. I'm sorry. So I'm potter and paying. Come and drop him because I'm Mechal Shabbos. It's like, it's ridiculous. If you think krum, you can do a lot of interesting things. We figured out the way to be matir agunus in multiple paths already, and now you know. Now we figured out matir gezel al rayis davar shenafsho shel adam. You know, chomed eslahem, right? Remember the beginning of the second parak, gezel al rayis storshin.
I don't know how you phrase this rigorously, but it's quite clear intuitively that there's a distinction to be made between me picking up mice and then eating it versus me doing two acts that are.
I agree. So you have to, but it's nice to say that something things are intuitive. Intuitions aren't always correct. Your intuition is correct here, but you have to figure out why.
I'm saying that it's not outside the realm of possibility or even probability that they would have had an alternative either of system, one that
it is, but then you'd have to really figure out why you should make a distinction. In other words, I'm going to formulate the question the following way. Let's say I steal the piece of chaylev, okay, and then I go to sleep. and then I put it in the refrigerator before I went to sleep. Okay, and a week later, I decide, you know what, I think I'll fry some stuff and then eat it. Are you going to say that I'm potter from paying? Right, you could have taken me to a Din Torah 12 times in the interim. I don't even have to pay. And all of a sudden now I'm potter because I decide to take your chalev as opposed to a different piece of chalev and eat it. You know, that would seem very strange, would it not?
Right, and I think that we would need categories.
You know, in American law, we try to multiply the charges as much as possible, right? But I think you could understand, even if we were opposed to that philosophically, even if for one action, we only mechayev you one thing, you could understand why someone would say that if you stole a gun and then you killed someone with it, that would be considered two separate crimes, right? And certainly, if you took the gun, you stole the gun, and you put it in your closet, and 2 weeks later, you killed someone with it, right? You'd understand the even though you use the same object, nonetheless, it's two different things. So I think the same thing is true here. And then I'll ask you the question, you know, if you agree with me when you killed someone with it 2 years later that it's a separate action, what if it was 2 months later? What if it was 2 weeks later? What if it's 2 days later? What if it's 2 hours later? What if it's 2 minutes later?
The Kimli Duramani doesn't need to work in that mindset. I mean, the whole idea of why you're having Tashlumin, its connection to, because worse things are happening to you.
But then you're
going to... need to be because we only have the capacity for one punishment at this moment. And since you did two things at one time, we only can, you know, punish you for one. That's not the reason behind it.
Well, you weren't here yesterday, and we didn't know what the reason behind was, but I'm
assuming that still as
we're not really sure the reason. But if you explain the way you started saying is that, you know, not going to punish you twice, and then really, if I stole the money and then I'm going Mechal al Shabbos, and remember, I don't even get the Misa Beis Din because I was clever enough to do it without Hasra or Edim, but I acknowledge that I burned the house down because I want you to know that, so I'll be Patur Kamei Rabbanim. Why wouldn't you say you Patur Kamei Rabbanim right now? Because we brought the two cases together. Clearly we don't. What?
Meaning I can understand how people can argue from Pista.
Again, if you ate the Chayin of when?
Say 2 weeks later.
Why?
I'm not sure why.
Let me even frame it this way. I agree. Oh, so maybe it's not. All right. So I agree with you. That one could have said that one doesn't buy the one either doesn't believe in the principle of simultaneity, or one believes that this is called simultaneous. There is flexibility. The example the Gemara is going to quote on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph said, "I'm Robin Hood. I shoot the arrow on Shabbos. You know, I'm standing in the Rosh Hashanah. I shoot the arrow four amos, and in the middle of the four amos are my silk pajamas, your silk pajamas that are hanging there. Okay, and they tear right through the pajamas, and then they land four amos away. So that's a case where at least one of the amorim, the Gemara raises the possibility of being a machlokas. All in the end, I don't think it is. One of the amorim says, "Hipater, come the Ramine," even though the kriya took place before the Chilul Shabbos took place. And the question is why. Chilul Shabbos takes place when it lands. All I'm saying is we're going to talk about what does it mean to be silent. So you could argue...
I'm not talking about doing it simultaneously. You could also... I was just talking about personally. Maybe you don't need to require the simultaneous...
Agreed. So in other words, we could say that people disagree with their chista either on the requirement of simultaneity or on what the definition of simultaneity is. Those are two separate questions. Yudi?
So let's say on Shabbat someone starts a fire and then 20 minutes later it damages someone's house. Would that not be...
I think that we would say, you would say Kamei D'Rabbanei, but it's your fire. In other words, you're chayev on every, you're not chayev separate chatos because it's one action, but everything that's burning that takes place is a greater shear in your malacha. Your malacha continues until the fire goes out.
But I'm over Shabbat from the time I light the fire.
All the way until the time the fire stops burning, either because Shabbos is over or because the fire goes out. What's that? No. It's not Gramam and Eish, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Ki seitzei Eish. And depending on how you read, Ki yaber ish sadeh ocher, maybe that one too, but that's not the standard rabbinic reading. Right? But no, Eish is, and in fact, Rabbi Yochanan says, whatever this means, this is complicated, it's all right, he says, Ishav Mishom Chitza, when I light a fire deliberately, and even maybe not deliberately, directly, but it's a result, even I'm not intending to do damage, if it's... I lit the fire in a way where there was no barrier to stop it. That's called Adam Amazik. Not clear how we paskin exactly that way, but you're chayv either way. So the bottom line is if I light the fire on Shabbos, it burns for 20 minutes, that's still my malacha. So therefore, when it burns something during that period, it's not. The interesting case would be the following, to borrow from the sugya in the second parak of Baba Kama, the machlokas isha misham chitzav isha mamono. According to Rabbi Yochanan, isha misham chitzav, let's say I lit the fire, and then there was a wall protecting it, and then an earthquake came and knocked the wall down. And then the fire spreads because the wall isn't there. Now, so the point is, in that case, Lagabe Shabbat, Lagabe Nizakin, we say that it's no longer Isha Misham Chitzav. Then everybody agrees it's Isha Misham Amono. So whether or not that might be a case they ask the question on. Okay. I find myself sounding more like the kinds of things that Achronim would write. Yes. Okay. I don't mean not Madrega, but the kind of questions. Yes.
How can anyone disagree with the requirement of Baina? Otherwise,
well, that was my question. That was my question.
It seemed like you concluded that you couldn't do it. Are you not
playing? Well,
because in the number so, you have whether you
there could be, but we haven't at all established.
Well, what the problem? The problem with Shua is the following: just conceptually, without even knowing any more details.
Could I assume that someone on death row and that we assume they're going to be killed tomorrow? Do we not hold them against for anything else that he's done in past times? Perhaps.
Okay. But here's my question for you: said if a person goes. And if the person steals the chaylev and hasn't eaten yet, I could be tovayim to a din Torah right now.
100%.
Right? And he would lose.
Yes, he would.
Right? If we had the evidence, right? And therefore he'd have to pay me.
Yeah.
And now he eats it 2 weeks later.
And now he's getting, what is it, karis?
Yeah.
Now he's getting karis.
But he got punished for the beginning of the action, right? So what difference does it make whether they took him to a din Torah or not?
What makes the difference? Well, at that point he would have returned it and not get karis at the end of hoping.
Let's say he paid money instead. He's a liar, so he said, I don't have a chaylev anymore.
Well, the guy didn't care. It could be some idea about someone who's on his way to karis is someone we don't ask for money at this point.
Okay, but he steals the chaylev, we don't assume he's on his way to karis.
At that point, or those could be totally unrelated.
What if you're going to hire karis before you do any damage?
Meaning, once the guy's on death row, can he now go and do anything else?
These
are all wonderful questions. We haven't seen Kim Laban.
Okay, fair enough. So before we develop I think you're correct. So what you're really stating is what I would like to say is that we're not going to be able to fully fledged theory of Kim Laban if we ever are until we've done all the sugyas, and there are a lot of different pieces to the sugya. Right, the Malkus and Mammon pieces along sugya. There are elsewhere in Shas that we will look at, but it is a very complicated sugya. I have most of the basic data in my head, and I'm not sure that I see a clear pattern or clear explanation that would explain everything.
I can see
someone not holding your test. I understand exactly what you were saying. Right? I do want to know where you draw the line. That's the only question. Because you agree that my robbing the bank for $1 million and then turning around a few days later to be Michal Shabbos is presumably not going to be an exemption for robbing the bank. I mean, maybe yes, I don't know. But that seems pretty far-fetched, right? Right. Legal systems do generally try not to have the principle of Chote Niskar. Which could be a general question on Kamei Rabbi Mine. If a Kamei Rabbi Mine raises two questions, it's both the Chote Niskar, and it's also, but what about the poor guy whose house was burned down? Right? What's that?
The Yershim are going to enjoy the money.
He wasn't in the house. No. When you're burning the house down, the guy's not in the house.
We're going to kill him.
Oh, yes, it's Yershim, right, okay. That's always a critical question the Gemara has in a number of Knossos, where the Kansu Banavacharav. You know, a number of cases of someone violates a miser, and now there's Hana involved. He's not Hana. What about his children? Kansu ben Amachara. Okay. Yes. So now, let's go very, very slowly. In the words of in the words to paraphrase a certain child's book, this sugya is very dangerous. Go very, very slowly. Take it slowly. Fox and socks. Okay. Anyway, go ahead. Okay, so let's start with the first. But before we read, the first step is if the guy steals, if the guy takes the truma, and it's presumably not his truma. Now, a czar can own truma. He can own truma. A czar can eat truma in multiple ways where he's not chayav for gezel. Either the truma belongs to him because he bought it from a kohen, or it was bequeathed to him by his kohen grandfather through his mother, Okay, his mother's not alive. His mother, his father's a Yisrael. His grandfather dies. He inherits his grandfather, who was a Kohen's Truma. So that's one way. Or he bought it. Or that's one possibility. The other possibility is that if a person separates Truma and he eats the Truma, what is he chayef to pay? If he eats Truma b'mezi that he separated from his own grain pile and hasn't given it the Kohen yet, what is he chayef to pay? What? Nope. B'mezi there'd be no chomesh. Why? Because this is Mamon Shein Lotovim. There's nobody who can tovei him. It doesn't belong to any one Kohen. It belongs to Shevet Kohuna. And Shevet Kohuna doesn't have an official representative who can break into Din Torah and say, give me my Truma. He can say, I would have given it to a different Kohen. To be Yotzei Din HaShemayim, I presume he's supposed to pay, supposed to give something to the Kohanim. But either way, there's no Chiyuv to pay in those two cases. If he owned the Truma because it's really his, or he owned the Truma because he separated and hasn't given it to Kohen yet. So now, what's the problem? He picks up the Truma to eat it, puts it in his mouth, chews on it, swallows it. It tastes very good. So we want to say, Abai wants to say he's potter. Why? When is he Kona? When does he become a Gazlan on it? When he picks it up. I pick it up now. I own it. I'm a Gazlan. Gemara says, I'm not Chayiv Karis, a Chayiv Yisrael Shemayim yet. I return it to the Kohen. If I leave it on my bookshelf until it rots, you know, as a souvenir, you know, if I, you know, crumble it up and spread it to the four corners of the earth, I'm not Chayiv Yisrael Shemayim. Okay, I'm a Mazik. I'm a Gazlan, but I'm not Chayiv Misa. So now that I eat it, it's not B'idna. It's not at the same time. First I'm Chayiv Mamon, then I'm Chayiv, you know, Misa B'di Shemayim. I should be Chayiv both. There's no Patur. Yes. Daniel?
This is going to sound strange, but can't you also compare this to the... can't you make a Nidon al-Shem Sofo in this case, like the one by Baba Machteret? Because when the person enters the house... via the tunnel.
That's the svara to argue Rav Chisda, but you're formulating it a funny way. I would just say it's one mice. In other words, you would say that picking it up and chewing it and swallow is really one mice.
Yeah.
Right. In the same way, the Gemara has a possibility. It's a safe. Not with the arrow case. See, with the arrow case, when I shoot it for Amos, and it tears the silk in the middle, so that's clearly one mice. Once I shoot the arrow, the damage is done. And it's from that one mice of mine, the malacha happens and the nezek happens. But let's say I'm Blade Runner and I take the knife in my hand and I start running full speed through the Rishus HaRabim and then I stop after four amos. But two amos before I stop, I tore through the silk. Now there, when I started, I certainly had the capacity to stop before I tore the silk. Right, when the malacha potsa of Havar Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim began, said it was b'yado la dure, I could have been choser. What about that? Is that called one action? Is that Nidon al Shem Sofo?
Well, but that's why I said Nidon al Shem Sofo and not one Maise. Because one Maise.
Excuse me, I'm just trying to get over the simcha that's happening. But I just want to tell you, if I haven't told you already this year, I'm mazel tov to all of you who've gotten engaged, who are getting engaged, who will get engaged. We're not seeing you in cheer for you. Okay, next. Go ahead. All
right. If it's one Maise, I don't think that could be comparable to the case where someone picks up chaylev or picks up a truma that eats it, because as we said earlier in the base medrash, once you pick it up, you still have control whether you put it in your mouth or not and swallow it, unlike when you shoot an arrow.
Okay,
but it could be compared to the Abba b'machter, because in that situation, once you put yourself in a situation. Right.
No, because Baba Machteris, if you then, before the Baal Bas even comes, you run out of the Machteris, outside. Okay? Or all of a sudden you pull out of your garb, you pull out a big flashing sign that you stick on you that says, I would never harm a fly, I just like to steal. And if you confront me, I will try to run away and never hurt you. Right? So if he pulls out that sign, doesn't have the din, he doesn't have shame sofa anymore. Right? He's like an Av Halabain. Right? So in other words, the point is that, let's leave that the Machteris case aside, but we will have a discussion on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, Sain B'Taneidi. Right now, let's accept for the moment the Gemara seems clear on its definition of Sain B'Taneidi. When I pick up the object and it's a separate Maisa, picking it up is a Maisa, a Kinyan Gazela, eating it is a separate action. I could stop after doing one without doing the other. So let's assume for the moment that that's not called simultaneous. Now, what did the Gemara think in the Kasha? What action? What mamon do I have to pay? If the Gemara is saying that, of course I should have to pay. How much do I have to pay? The hana or the nezek, the value of the object, or what I actually benefit from? What? Alex? I'm sorry?
I said,
you're correct. In other words, I couldn't hear. So the bottom line is that I pick up the object. I'm a goslin. How much does a goslin have to pay? How much is this worth? It's worth $20. So that's what I have to pay. I eat it. The fact that maybe I'm a Neanderthal and I don't appreciate good ink, and I swallow it, and if I could fill my stomach with something cheaper than the $20 of ink, I could have filled it with $2 of chulent or something like that. So I don't pay $2. I pay $20 because I stole it. Period. Okay. So that's the Gemara's question. Now the Gemara says, you know what? You know how to get around the problem? I didn't pick it up. My friend did. Just a question here. The Gemara, none of the Rishonim that Sfaras can tell raises possibility. There was another way of dealing with this problem. What?
When the friend picks it up, doesn't he do Gnei
Ma? 1 second. So there was another possibility before you get there, which is let's say I pick it up Almanash Shalaliknos.
Right.
Let's say I pick it up with the intent explicit not to be Kona. And I hang it in my mouth with the intent not to be Kona. Now, up until the point that the object is still Be'en, I cannot be Kona. I might be Chayvin. I don't know if I'm Chayvin Onsin, if I'm doing something negligent, but basically, if I pick up your object without the intent to be Kona, I don't make a kidding on the object. I don't make a kidding on the object. And therefore, I think this is a given. If I pick up the object without intent to be Kona, I want to just look at the object. Pashtus is, if lightning strikes it in my hand in such a way that it would have struck it on the ground too, said I'm Pater. If I'm Kona, even with what's called a Kinyan Gezela, it's not a full-fledged Kinyan. You know why Kinyan Gezela is not a full-fledged Kinyan? How do you know that?
You can't sell it.
If I pick up your object, I'm a chuyif to return to you the object, then it means I'm not the full Bailam on it. When I buy an object from you, or you give me an object, or I take it and I'm supposed to give you money later, but I make a Kinyan on it, that's my object. I do whatever I want with it. But when I steal your object, certainly before Yesh, I'm not allowed to do anything I want with it. I'm obligated to return it to you. But you can get it. What's kinyan gezela is to be mischayev and onsen. I'm chayev if something happens to it. That might have happened anyway. If I get in your car, if I steal your car, I take it for a joyride. Okay? And it was parked on the street. And I take it for a joyride around Teaneck. And I park it back in the exact same spot. I mark the spot with the chalk before I leave. So it's right on the spot where I return it to you. And it's all intact. Nothing has changed. And lightning strikes it. I'm chayev. Until, let's say you were out of town. So there's no Hashavas HaGzela, there's no point which I can say, I gave you back. It's not your shirts. It's not in your garage, there's no chatzah there. It's on the street. Free for anybody. I mean, the street is free for anybody, not the car. Right? So the bottom line is, I'm chayiv. Oh, it would have happened anyway. That's where the car was going to be. You're in Israel for 3 weeks for Sukkot. Lightning struck on the third day of Chol HaMoed Sukkot. It would have struck there anyway. So why am I chayiv? The answer is because I was Kona. And to the extent that I'm Kona, not Kenyan Gomor, if I buy something and a lightning strikes it, whose loss is it? It's mine, because never lightning struck my address.
That's sort of fake rishus, even though I know he's in Florida. But if you put the car back, then...
Still not Shavas HaGzela. How is that? You didn't return it to his rishus. You've covered up the crime, but you haven't returned it to his rishus. You also have to run the odometer backwards in order to cover up the crime fully. But okay, fine. All right. Don't try that trick. Some of you know the famous movie scene. So, okay. Of course. Okay. I don't think it works. By the way, I've never checked on my car. When you drive in reverse, does it add up the odometer too? But I know it doesn't go in reverse. That's for sure. So the bottom line is that you have a kinyan zela. You're chayav on alonson. There's no question about that. So, but let's say I pick this up without any intent to be Kona. So if there's nothing that I do that's poshea that causes to be damaged, I'm not going to be chayav anonis. Probably not. So let's say I have in mind, now, once I put it in my mouth, am I Kona yet? Well, you're going to have to, understand something reading the sugya. Certain habits of hygiene have almost changed. Not quite. Okay? You know what mastication is? Yes. And there are people, there's a joke about this, but some people believe in chewing their food for their babies. Animals do it, by the way. But I think that it has gone out of fashion in Western society, in America. People who do it, you know, are on the slightly loony fringe for the most part. Okay. What's that?
There are more people like Alicia Silverstone
I'm aware of that example, and there was a joke about that, how she masticates food for her entire family. That's a joke, apparently. Okay, but I think it's generally not done in Western, you know, Western, most Western societies. But that's a good example only because it means that some of that is a cultural norm. Right? In other words, a certain amount of chewing of food or food in the mouth might not render something totally inedible. For us, I know it would. Right? Now, as parents, or if you're, I mean, I don't know if guys do this with each other. I wouldn't have done it. Maybe I was just a funak, that you wouldn't finish somebody's leftovers that they had eaten from.
Oh, yeah.
Please don't tell say anything. This is you are all encouraged to take the Fifth Amendment. Obviously, if they didn't make any contact with it, that's okay.
Because of people they bit.
That's a different. I'm not talking about that. Okay,
but I don't have the hot dog. Here, you want to bite?
Officially, yes or no?
What's that? Thank you. Thank you. So the bottom line is people used to be willing, had a greater tolerance for eating food that had been in other people's mouth.
Yeah, the whole time.
Okay. Yeah, but Schlein is the one who's entrusted with pulling out the flag. Depends what Moody said. So the bottom line is people had a greater tolerance. So just putting it in your mouth itself does not, in this sugya, does not render it, does not damage it necessarily or render it inedible for other people. Chewing on it, for the sugya, does render inedible for other people. I assume that even if Chazal envisioned the possibility of chewing up something for children, it was for your babies, it wasn't for other people. Okay? Just saying. So, that being the case, that would be something that would be a shinoi that would render it already, you couldn't return it anymore, it's something totally different. It's also a shinoi just in Metzias. It's Lagamri something different. Either way, whether it's Nezek or shinoi, but I think it's both. So then you're Kona. It doesn't matter whether you want to be Kona or not, you are Kona. Right? If I take your object and I make a shinui in it, I'm either a mazik, or if I stole it and do that, I'm kona. Period. End of discussion. Even if it's just mazik, that's okay also. There does reach a point, the Gemara assumes, even without chewing, whether that, it seems, that nobody else wants to eat that food, like if it was in my throat. Okay? If it was, you know, in my beis habliya, and then I expelled it, even if the food is basically intact, at least the assumption of the Gemara. Tosis raises an observation that may not be true. You know the expression, if what you don't know can't hurt you? So if it was in your throat and then you managed to expel it, the odds are if you put it back on the plate and the next person walks into the room, they can't tell the difference. So the Gemara essentially says that. Tosis quotes a Gemara that says that about this type of a thing, that that's only mois befanav, because if he's seen it, but if it's not befanav, then it's not mois. I mean, it's not objectively mois. Yes?
Do you think the Gemara has mentioned the word mois once? Is it possible that, like,
you're going to have to come up with a better reading, a better explanation. I'm not. You're right. It doesn't.
Something along the lines of the end, but like.
But the problem is, it's. Well.
Meaning, like the last
you want to just say it's
like
a shinoi,
especially the last answer, which is like, did he get it up into pasuk?
Well, all right. So the way Rashi reads that, it means it's changed.
Well, exactly, but Pashtus and the Gemara doesn't seem that.
Well, no, well, let's wait till we get there, okay? We'll deal with it, which is not going to be today. But bottom line is that I think that we can... I'm open to another possibility, but you're going to have to make it work in the Gemara. All right, so that was the... That's where the Gemara brings us to. So the Gemara says, assuming not my Eitza, that the guy is Magbi at Almanash and Liknos. Instead, Chaveiro is Tachavlo. Latoch Piv. That's what the Gemara says. So now the Gemara asks, go ahead, Shua. So the bottom line is that it doesn't matter. That doesn't help the problem. Because, kevan de la'ase kanye. When I chew on it, now if when he puts it in my mouth, what could I do? Right then, I could spit it out, and it would be the same as it was before he put it in my mouth. And thus, right now, Let me take a step for a moment here. We didn't explain the Gemara's Havamina even before we get to the rejection. When he puts it in my mouth, so the Havamina is what?
That's all one action. What's in your mouth is all one action of both the Kenyan and your Chiyu Misa.
Okay, but here's my question. What am I Chayiv for? What did I do? And how much am I chayiv?
You both stole, and
So you want to say that, so? What am I chayiv? What am I the eater chayiv for?
Said I'm assuming for eating it,
So right now, for eating it, so did they already know that I ate it, that I had a choice whether you just spit it out or no? Then they don't seem to be thinking about that yet, because that's the very next question. The next question is, but wait, just because he put it in my mouth didn't mean I did it.
At this point, the assumption is that both are b'mezid still.
Let's say both are b'mezid right now.
Until now, we assume that the separation between, I was actually wondering, maybe you can also replace this on the Gemara with, had he picked it up with his mouth?
Correct. One of the, we showed him talk about that, not on the page. But they could have done the very same thing. In other words, they could have, because the Gemara will have it later, gochen v'ochel. Right? The Gemara, somewhere in Daf Lamed Aleph, has that idea that he could, you know, bend down and eat it off, you know, like a dog would eat something off the floor.
That's the thing with Gemara.
No, I think at this stage...
Well, right now we haven't figured that part out yet, but that he's Kona before the swallowing. Right? Because we don't know that he's Kona before the swallowing yet.
Gemara is saying just like, you're the eating is all one maisa. Like, things like in your mouth and swallowing is probably like one maisa, and you'd assume that, all the maisa was put together.
Well, but you didn't put it in your mouth.
Exactly.
So who's chayiv to pay?
Who's chayiv for what?
Who's chayiv to pay here? Before you get to a discussion of Kama and Rabbanei, who should be chayiv to pay? Moshe?
The assumption is there's telling someone that he's chayiv.
The eater is chayiv.
Yeah.
Why not? He ruined the object. I really need to imagine.
Yeah, it's not the person ruined. The person put it in his mouth.
Well, so why the two different? That's a different statement, Moshe. Moshe said he got enough from it, so fine. So Rashi, in fact, says that.
He only says that later part of the Gemara. He doesn't say it this way.
Okay, but it's still a viable answer.
He doesn't assume
what Rashi says.
Rashi does say it right here. Tacha lo chavero, velo agba velo kanye, velo mechayev b'tashlum ela b'bliyasa mischayev d'mei hanayas mea, velo d'mei kula.
Ah,
it is very simple. So according to Rashi, but maybe you're saying it doesn't have to be read that way. We have to see. This is going to be the last point. We're going to stop here because we have a slightly longer mincha. But the question is the Gemara's havamina right now that the tachav lo chavero le toch pin, that the entire maisa of eating and swallowing and violating machalos asuros is also the maisa hakaneva, and that the ochel is chayiv in everything? Or is the good way Rashi says, is it that no, that chaveros mischayiv? Because remember, if he's picking it up was a kin in gazela, mistama, so is his friend's picking it up a kin in gazela. Unless you argue that his friend, since he was picking it up to stick it in his mouth, he wasn't intending to be kona. Right? And his friend puts it in his mouth now, so now, why should he didn't do the gzela? His friend did. So we have to talk about that question. That's the issue that Tosfos raised. Could you say that? So then, in which case, which would be an interesting case, because it means the other guy could basically come le drabinei, and the nixal is going to be tovea the guy who picked it up. That's, you know, the way that it works in America today. You sue the deep pockets. So one guy's pockets got much shallower because the misa b'deshanai. His pockets were empty. Those are two possibilities right now. Either that the ochel, as the way Shua is suggesting, is chayiv for everything because, bottom line is, if you steal something and someone else eats it, that you can either one could be liable for the geneva. Or do we say that the first guy is chayiv for the geneva minus the hana that the second guy gets? But by the way, even according to that approach, I assume as a davar pashut that if the second guy has no money, this comes a totally different sugya, assignment of responsibility and liability when there are multiple parties involved. But I would assume the pashut is if the second guy doesn't have any money to pay, in this case, you can be tovea all the money from the gazlan because he was gazlan. And bottom line, if it can't be returned to you, in a certain sense. If it's just the Demei Hanoah question, if that's all it is, then it seems that the guy who owes the Hanoah might just as well owe it to the Gazlan than rather than owing it to the Nigzal. Okay, we could talk about this tomorrow. Those are the two possibilities, and tomorrow we'll pick up in the continuation of the Gemara. We'll try to continue to flesh it out. Okay? Tomorrow we will move a little bit faster, but there's a lot of introductory interesting stuff, and now we'll get moving.